Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you for the time of worship. And Lord, even as we open your word, we continue to worship you because your word is living waters, Lord. Your word is our sustenance. It's the manna from heaven. And I pray now that you would open all of our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. Lord, we're going to be speaking about that wonderful day that happened over 2,000 years ago when the Holy Spirit came in power. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would have your way in each of our hearts this morning. Lord, that you would draw us ever closer to you, that you would reveal yourself to us in a special way today. Lord, that we might hear from you as individuals, hear from you as a church. Lord, this one body, the body, your body, Lord, that we might be united and that we might receive. We thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy that you continually pour out upon us. And now as we open your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will guide my lips and Alfonso's lips as we bring the word that you have for us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading the first 12 verses. Acts chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. As you're turning there, I had asked Alfonso over the phone if he would had a word he would be willing to preach, and he said, I'll pray about that. And then we're driving up from New Jersey last Tuesday, and he says, we're going to do a tag team. And I don't remember ever doing this. I think there was one time that I did this, but I think he wanted us to stand up here together and go back and forth, but that would scare the daylights out of me, you know, on the spot. But it could work too. And so I promise to be brief so that you can hear his voice, a voice that we haven't heard for 13 years. Let's read. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? It's been fun this week to be talking with Alfonso back and forth. And one moment we're in English, and then a word doesn't come in English, and it comes in Spanish. It doesn't come in Spanish, you know. But it is amazing to think about all the languages that are spread around across this globe, isn't it? And one of the beautiful things about the language is even if you don't understand, if the Spirit of God is reigning in those people, you feel at home. And so I want to just say something to begin here. God is, and say it with me, God is almighty. God is almighty. He's all powerful. He's above all nations and all governments. And let me say this, men's power compared to the power of God is minuscule. They can't hold a candle to his power. I want us to go back in time because there was a moment in history. It was after the flood. And most of you perhaps know the story, but if you don't, the world was evil. It was full of, God saw that the heart of men was continually evil. That every thought they had was continually evil, and he destroyed the earth. But he found a man who had favor in his sight, and that was Noah. And so Noah and his family, they built an ark, and they were saved from the flood. And the ark came to rest some 137 days, Tansy? You're just running through that with the women, right? Can't remember the number. But it was a lot of days to be in an ark full of animals. And as they settled on the earth, there were three sons, and there was one son who was godly, and Shem. And through his line in Genesis 11, it tells us that the genealogies that led all the way up to Abraham. And so Shem is in the... He's the first person really that's mentioned in the nation of Israel and also in the family of Abraham, the family who we belong to. So if you'll turn in your Bibles with, no, you don't need to turn. Just, it'll be on the screen. There was a moment after generations had arisen and they were all together and they all spoke one language. Wouldn't that be great though? Imagine if you were there and you couldn't understand, you know, but it's all one language they were speaking. But there was a problem. In Genesis 11:4, it says, come, they said to one another, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. I just want us to look at this for a moment. Just three quick points, and I think they're on your slide there. The first thing they said, let us build a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Now I was looking online at all of the tallest buildings that are in the world today. And, the one that is the tallest is in Dubai. In fact, the name of it is, Burj Khalifa. It is, 2,770 feet tall. It has 163 floors. And I don't know about you, as I traveled across the country many times, you drive into Chicago, you drive into New York, and there's the tallest building. And there's a competition that goes on in the world. We've got the tallest building. But I looked at this picture of the Burj Khalifa, and it looks like a needle going up into the air. And I know good and well that those people back then didn't get very far with their tower on the way to heaven. But it's the whole point is they had a plan and they sought unity. Listen to me carefully. They sought unity in their own plans and their own thoughts. And so not only did they do that, but the reason they did it was to make a name for themselves. In other words, pride entered. We are something else. We're building this tower. We're building a city here. And so God looked down upon that and he spoke. The Trinity is involved there. He said, let us go down and stop this whole thing. That second point, wanting to be known, recognized by everyone. Pride. There's also a sense of protection. You know, you build the city, you build a tower and you feel secure. They were making their own security. But look at the last point there, the last part of the verse. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. That plan was based on fear. They had a fear that somebody's going to come along and scatter them. And arguably, I believe that the quest for power, even in human beings today, whether it's individuals, whether it's nations, it's based in fear. Then pride comes into the picture. And after pride, what happens? The fall. How many nations have we seen that have ruled and that were empires and no longer are? Before I continue, I want us to understand that this is something that can not only happen in a nation, but can happen in a person. By fear, you can do the same thing. You can be preparing for the future, and you can do it really well, and in your heart you begin to say, man, I did this really well. You know, I've accomplished what I've set out for. I have I've done it the right way. I've made all the right decisions, et cetera, et cetera. I know there's nobody sitting in this room that can say that. Amen? How many of you made wrong decisions? But God in his love, and I'll, if you want to turn in your Bibles, I have a slide there, don't I? Next one. God in his love and grace does not allow the people to continue doing their old thing. And so the Lord came down. And I love it. It says the Lord came down to see what they were doing. Now, you know good and well he could see it from where he was. But he came down, and I just felt like he was down there, and he heard the heart of the people. He understood what they were doing, and he knew it was not a good thing. And so he said in let us come down and there and confuse their language. And by the way, that word confuse there is balal, B-A-L-A-L, and it means to mix up. So he mixed up their languages. Could you imagine being there and you're laying bricks in this tower and all of a sudden, you know, the person next to you, ¿Por qué estás haciendo eso? Venga, venga, hombre. Trabaja, trabaja. You know? Anybody know what I said? Yes, you do. But if you didn't know what he was saying, you know, you would pick up a trowel and he wanted you to pick up a brick, you know? And so confusion, he mixed that up. And then it says he scattered them over the face of the earth. Now, isn't that very interesting? The very thing that they had fear of? That's what God did. He scattered them over the face of the earth. And then finally, in verse 9, I don't know if that's where, is that the slide I want? Yeah, I think so. The different language causes separation and they're no longer capable of doing their own thing. How often does God do that? Where you've got these plans and these purposes in your own and God makes it so that you can no longer do that thing. I am so thankful for that. Sometimes it doesn't feel good because we've really wanted to do what we're going to do. But by his Spirit, he puts a stop to it. But there's something even more important here. One of the things that God said, let us go down. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were involved here. And they were going to try to reach heaven by what they were doing. This was all about works, you know. Trying to reach heaven by doing what we think will do it. When they did that, they would no longer be satisfying the deep need of their souls because every soul that is on this planet needs to have the Lord Jesus. And so how often do people do that where they do things, they build things, they build cities? We are, by the way, I don't know if you all are aware and you watch the news, but we are heading, there's plans already for one world currency. There's plans already for a one world government. There's an attempt for a one world religion. I want to send all those people back to chapter 11 and says it doesn't work. Because unless the Spirit of God comes, you're lost. Okay? Anyway, so we come to the day of Pentecost. This was about 3,500, 4,000 years ago, depending on what chart you look at. We fast forward to the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, we realize that the world is still separated by languages. This has never occurred in the history of humanity that there are people from, and it says in that passage in Acts 2, in fact, if you look in verse 5 of Acts 2, it says, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. All right? Now the Holy Spirit descends and he brings power. We read that in verses 2:1-4. But it's not a power to separate. This time it is a power to unite. It's a complete reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. People from all these different countries now are able to receive the gospel message in their own language. It says that these people are confused, but they come together. The Holy Spirit, the mighty sound of wind in the house, and they all come together to see what's going on. And it says that they are confused, but that word confused there really means bewildered, but amazed. I think in some of our Bibles it says they were amazed and they marveled at what was happening. These men are speaking in our own languages, and it names a whole bunch of these nations here. You see, The amazing thing here, what the Holy Spirit is revealing to these men and women that were in that upper room, is that already they were revealing that the gospel was to go to all nations. Remember, Jesus said, witness for me first in Samaria and Jerusalem, then in Samaria, then in Judea, and then to all parts of the world. All parts of the world had already come together in Jerusalem, and on that day, they saw that the gospel was to be preached to all nations. And the Holy Spirit made it possible for them to do this glorious task. And so, Alfonso, mi hermano en Cristo, my brother in Christ, is going to come and really move us on into the plan of the Holy Spirit for the church. Is that right, Alfonso? Does that sound right? Okay. Okay.
I appreciate your patience with my English. If I say a word that is not, it doesn't ring a bell to you, I'm not insulting you, okay? I love you, okay? It's just, I'm dumb sometimes. My mind think one thing, my mouth stumble, right? Like these guys, huh? But we love the chapter 2 as missionaries. It's our chapter. As we see the world in need, as we see the world that God has created, we see this paradigm changed. When God was working through history, through Israel, and Israel would be the light, people would come to Israel, would come to see what God is doing in that pueblo, in that people, among their people. And they are conquering lands, but yet they were not necessarily scattered. No, to go, it's like we say in missions, you know, we have the two forces, the centrifugal forces and the centripet force, right? One that goes inside, right? And the other that goes. You guys that play baseball knows that, right? I see your heads waiting. You know, you know, that's kind of the Acts 2, you know? God was woo, 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 woo. There's history because he wants his grace, his name, his heart, his love to be known in all the world. So here we have chapter 2 of Acts. This picture representing that gathering. 120 of them. 120, if you think of the days before that, you know, this happened 50 days after Christ resurrected. And here are these 120, not a thousand, not the 500 that saw him going to heaven, but just 120. 120 that remembered the word that Jesus said. You guys, look, I want you... Yes, you're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and you're going to be witness right here in Jerusalem and then to the end of the earth. This force, bang, is going to go. And you wait there, go there and wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come. And 20 of them goes there. But during 40 days, was Jesus moving around, hang out with his friends in a surprising ways, right? Suddenly he would interrupt their meeting, their whatever, right? Their lunch, you know, here I am. Why Jesus do that? What do you think? He didn't. Let's go for business. Come on, guys. Move on. I go up and you take the Holy Spirit. Bye bye. Adios. Conquer the world. Why this process things? Why it takes time? Sometimes we wonder why God's taking time to do things in my life, right? But there is this patience of God. He's nurture thing. He builds things. He wants things to last. He's not a quick fix God. He's not a God, you know, with what we say in Spanish, la varita mágica, you know, the
magic wand,
you know, or the Aladdin lamp, you know, you just rub it, bing, here it is, I wish it, what you want. So he takes time. I mean, can you imagine it? This eternal God that knows everything, sees everything, feels everything. And yet, he chooses to be patient with his creation. And look through a perspective of eternity. He doesn't rush. I mean, I love this. Because we are Latinos, we rush, we do things very spontaneous, you know. We don't think many times, we don't process things, you know. We don't mature things, we mature wine, we mature cheese, you know. Mature decisions, so we don't, okay, alright, you know. And God takes the time to ponder. And here, Jesus taking the time to reconfirm the disciples and their faith. I mean, they were scared. They have given their lives to follow this master, this Messiah, this supposed savior. And suddenly, he's out of the picture. And they didn't know what to do. They heard a lot of story, and they learned a lot of teaching. But a lot of times, those things didn't click, right? They were there, but it didn't click. And somehow, Jesus does in a way that he comes for the clicking moment. He comes, you know, on those days, you know, appearing to one, appearing to the other, and to the doubting Thomas, you know. Here I am, touch here, don't be scared, you know. He brings the supernatural to such a natural sphere. And they were scared. They were scared of the persecution. They were scared of death. They were scared of what's going to happen to their life, their future. And this being that he's being gone to heaven later on is still here, bringing that supernatural reality of the resurrection and the power of God so visible, so touchy, so present to their daily. For 40 days. Wow. I think there was a lot of nurturing there, confirming the faith and raising a lot of doubts. But yet, they say, wait more. You know, and he goes, bye, I see you. And he goes. And they have 10 days more to ponder what we're going to do. So they gather in this place, 120 of them, men and women. Have you been waiting for a long time in itching, in, you know? Or have you been in the elevator with someone that you don't wait for, what, 1 minute to go up, you know, for the doors to open? Imagine this 120 in that room, on a room, on the first floor, let's say, after all these events, and particularly some of those guys who have denied the Lord. I would say all of them denied the Lord because Mary was there with John at the cross, right? But in that sense, they were there. And for 10 days, Peter was there. He's trapped. Now, 119 eyes, you know, I mean, people, for Peter, come on, I remember that, watch, you know, and he's there, you know, 10 days, a long time. I thought God was doing something very important in nurturing the church to understand that relationships in the body, fundamental part of God. It's not just the acts of God, it's the quality of the living presence of God in our midst. I don't know if I'm explaining myself. And for 10 days, a lot of fixing, a lot of repenting, I believe, a lot of checking out the scriptures, a lot of cleansing was taking place, and a lot of tears was shed for bonding to take place. Because if the church would be based, would be built on the fundament of the apostles and the prophets, here they are. And those fundamentals should be very, very, very strong, right? Without cracks. You guys are builders. You know, no cracks in the building, no cracks in the foundations. And those nurturing of the Holy Spirit, like of God, working, cleansing them, preparing them. And suddenly, unexpected, we can go to another picture, please. Unexpected, something happened. It comes, there's noise, and those guys experience something different. So what can you see the difference on that picture of this picture? I hope I don't gonna be too long to explain myself, because some change.
Light.
What? Like what?
Light, loose.
Light, yes. Something different.
They're standing versus sitting.
They're standing and sitting. Good one.
They're
not looking inside, they're looking there. Good point. Oh, you guys, great. I didn't see that, but you saw that. Come on. Come on, boys, you guys. I was there in a class with them this morning. I really enjoyed it. Okay. Waiting for something. Are they doing something? Moving.
They're outside.
They are not inside anymore. They are not recluses anymore. They are not saying, what's going to happen to us? When they're not worried about them anymore. They're not worried about their safety. They are not worried about them. Suddenly the Holy Spirit does something with that manifestation of power, of noise, which was a noise that, a blast, and the tongues of fire, and they speak in other tongues, and suddenly something happened that moved them from that recluse place, protected place, to the vulnerable place, to the outside place. Wow. Church, don't live on its God always going to challenge the church to break out the boundaries. Get out of your boundaries. Our tendency is to create boundaries. Our tendency is to create for comfort zones for us. Like the chapter you read, we want to build something for us to feel protected. And God keeps saying, I'm your protector. I'm your protector. I am among you. Don't get scared. And here, they have to experience that right away, in the beginning of the church. So, and then one thing that I told Mike that struck me, because last Sunday, the church, in the calendar, a liturgical calendar of the church, it celebrates Pentecost. A lot of countries don't do that, a lot of churches don't do that, but there are churches in many parts of the world who does that. They take sometimes a week and ponder about this whole. Sometimes even churches in Europe. Europe is a mission field, as you know. It's a hard mission field, post-Christian era, as they say. But the last years, we have seen the historical churches being revisited by the Holy Spirit somehow. And they are taking this week of the Holy Spirit very seriously, because they realize that they are dying.
They put so many boundaries around them. They became more institution than anything else. And last year was about 10,000 people in a cathedral in Austria, in St. Andrew's Cathedral. And most of them young people. I mean, we're just astonished to see that. I mean, I was seeing Catholic parish in Madrid, in Spain, they would say, what the heck has happened here? You know, the evangelicals are open like that, so what's happening? Something is happening in the midst of darkness and death. And God's always an expert to visit us when there's darkness and death. Because He's a God of life, He's resurrection, isn't it? And here, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. You know? In the death, He brings life. So, Peter stands up. And that's, for me, I was telling Mike, that this week, my heart got, warmed with Peter. Peter stands up. And the scripture says in chapter 2, in some verses, in versions say, and Peter stood up and the 11th with him. Others say, the 11th and Peter. So I don't know which one is right. But what I'm saying, that guy who was the traitor, the big mouth, what are you saying about it, you know? Ah, come on, Peter, are you again? Suddenly, in these 10 days, probably something happened there that he dares to stand up. He dares to be who he was, not in the flesh, but in Christ. And 11 men stand with him.
Whoa, whatever you going to say? We're here, we'll back you up, amen. I don't know what you're going to say, but we back you up, huh? Oh, we'll back you up.
But, I mean, they would not have done that before, would they? Would you? I wouldn't. But suddenly, there was a transformed life that gave a place for a man to be a leader. Christ's anointing that others saw. It's very amazing for me. It represents that place of unity that God was calling the church to be. It's not a long ranger. It's not one man alone. So they build something. So what do you think would be the struggle of this man, this transformed Peter? Then you go next slide. Yeah. You know, everybody would look at that. If you know, everybody would say, oh, here's Peter. I think God would not have transformed his life, you know, they would have shortage of eggs in the market. Don't you think so? Because every time this little crook goes, I don't know how you say it. We do different in Spain. That's what we say. I don't know what you say here. Whatever. I was trying to write there. So every time would sing in the morning, his alarm clock, you know, his conscience, the trauma and the pain of his past would slash and steal this man's future. But because Jesus transforms and heals and changes, you know, the marketplace was not short of eggs. He didn't go kill every cook that was there. He let them live. And that's what I see in this standing up together, these guys. We are with you. We back for that beautiful animal. We don't look back at your past. What you did doesn't invalidate what God is doing in you now. What you've been and you've done doesn't crook God's plan in the goodness of you. We talked there in Ephesians today. We guys back there. I mean, I was standing there. I shouldn't preach. You guys should preach. This boy should come here and preach because they were saying things there. You know, that's what's reference to what God was speaking to my heart. So let's go to the bottom of that. Yeah. But we have that as well. Remember that? Two guys went in different ways. Yeah. What makes the difference? What makes the difference? Different for Peter to run to God, towards God, and Judas run away of God. Don't find repentance. Sometimes guilt is a shame place big deal in our lives and confusing us and instilling the sense of direction and truth of who God is. And you can go there, yeah. And I think it's a matter of perspective. Somehow Peter chose to believe the words of Jesus for him. That's what I believe. I believe Peter chose to believe that Jesus said, I'll meet you over there for breakfast. He could not go on. He could say, well, I'm not going to go there. It's too much of a pain to face that. But he believed. And I think Judas didn't find repentance. His heart was so hardened already. As he cried, he found remorse and his guilt. But he didn't believe the words of Jesus. That was enough to change and to rescue him. Would Jesus be forgiving if Judas would have returned to him and asked, Master, I messed up? Would he do it? Do you think? Huh? He did to me. I think he did to you. And a lot of times we lose perspective of God's grace when we are in that place. And here I think Peter went a step further. Yes. And understanding what I'm trying to say here. Our communion, our relationship with God will develop, will grow, the measure that we know about His goodness. If there is mistrust in our heart, we keep for ourselves. You don't get close to anyone if you don't trust that person. If you mistrust someone, you don't want to be close to it, right? We talk about a lot about love to God, loving God. But trust is a very important ingredient of love. Can you love someone that you don't trust? Well, we can think about that. So the scriptures is full of revelation of God trying to break down very clear who He is. So you trust me. So you can express my love and love me. But God's not so empty of love, they say, oh, love me, please. My self-esteem is so low, you know. Would you love me? I'm God, you know. But I feel so lonely. Hey, please, would you like me now? He doesn't go that way. He just reveals who He is. He shows who He is. In that way, we can see His character. And we can see His acts. And see they work together. He's not one that says one thing and do something else. Which a lot of times that's why we don't trust people. Right? They say something but they don't act like, oh, I cannot trust him. No. But God in the scripture, in the whole plan of God's revelation, is that plan of He's showing Himself He's worthy of trust. And He's worthy of being loved. He's worthy to be followed. He's worthy to be served. Because who He is.
So don't let the enemy trick you and mistrusting the goodness of God for your life, for your family, for your future. He's a good God. And Peter and his guys found that right then, I believe so. Yep, can you move on? As they prayed in that upper room for the Holy Spirit, I think that they experienced that changing. Before changing the world, the Word of God, the Spirit of God was changing them. And prayer, I mean, prayer, understanding prayer, relationship with God, listening to God, it does bring change first in us. And that's the quality of the service of God. Yes, so we move on. I don't know where that is. Life is dark for some people, but you can move on.
It says, do not allow your womb.
Oh, let's say something. Oh.
It does,
okay, you can say to us then. Okay. All right, that's good. We all appreciate you today, huh?
Do not allow your wounds to turn you into someone you are not.
Say it again. It's very dark, huh?
Do not allow your wounds to turn you into someone you are not.
Yeah. Peter could be, Peter and those disciples could be very bitter, right? And that's what I think the Lord wants to bring us again to that place of releasing and not living our past. Let's move on because it's too dark to ponder on. Let's shift the perspectives and see God as a creator God, even in our darkness, in our struggle. And you guys live here in an area, in a region, as many of you have told me. This is a mission field too. It's a mission field too. Place that have seen revival many years ago. Place where books is being written about it. Place where a lot of people in the seminary, Bible schools like to read the revival books. And you say, whoa, man, I like that. It's like me. I went to Heinhardt. Heinhardt was the place of the Moravians, the Moravian church in Germany. And YOM have planted a base there, a missionary base there, right in that town. When they were buying the place there, the building, the church and the city didn't want a missionary base there. And so, how can that be? If that's their roots, if that's the Moravians that have changed the world, you know, selling themselves as slaves so they'll be able to participate in the mission of God, right? And then they say, no, we don't want this here. And I visit the historical places. Yes, it's a memory. It's a reminder of something. But God did it. The Lord changed their hearts. The city council changed. God changed the city council's heart. The leadership of that place. And there's a beautiful building, a castle right there in the same city of that revival place that he'd been sending missionaries all over the world. It's filled up. It's filled up every year with young people. Filled up. I mean, you talk about filled up. I mean, it's people sitting out, eat with their plates in their hands. Because they want to be trained to go in the mission. And so in a dark place, God can revisit us again. As we meditate in, and you guys go through the book of Acts, as you know, and next series of church on Sundays, yes, let's as well think about the needs of this place. The need of this region that those, I say pothos, those wells of the past that has been closed, I mean shut down. May the Lord will bring about, you know, a presence on here. Okay, let's move on, yes. So like your hero say, we have always, you like that, right? Yeah? Yes, this is for some, let's keep our perspective looking to look up, not down. Yes. The great mistake you can make is to stay grounded
after failing. I don't know if you're struggling, but I've been finding a lot of Christians and a lot of young people and teenagers struggling to be a Christian in this world. Is it true? Yeah? Do you fight? Do you struggle? I know. I do too, you know. Look at my hair. Why? You know? Whoops. We all do. Because God is in the process of changing us. In this world, it's true, it's not friend of God. And when we become friend of God, that is a war that is declared right there. And but as we walk in God, our mistakes is our failings. They don't declare what our future is going to be. It's just a bad chapter in our life. It doesn't make the whole book bad, right? It's a chapter, right? And for you young people, for you guys, a bad chapter is not the end of the book, like was not for Peter and those disciples. It was just a chapter. But God is writing the whole book with you. And there are beautiful chapters there that we can read together. They can show us. And we as a body can rejoice with you. Yes, small. If you know what I mean. Pentecost came, as we know, as a promise fulfilled, as Michael said. It came in a strange, unconventional way. And set a new paradigm for God's people, as I said. And this paradigm was the presence of God. The Holy Spirit was not giving that fullness, as we know, and was giving right then to be with us forever and ever, in us and through us, in us and through us, with power, giving power and authority, power to move on and to against the work of darkness. In authority, because we don't operate in our own name, in the authority of Christ who resides in us. And he promised a harvest. And right there, after Peter preaches, that's a tremendous example of a harvest. When 3,000 or so, joined the church, become believers, got baptized. Wow! I mean, those guys were scared, afraid of their lives, run away probably. What is going to happen? And suddenly, they are the heroes of the town. Hey, we know you. Facebook, yes. You know Peter? Oh, yes, I know Peter. Yeah, this guy. That would be today, you know. All the crowd, oh, yes. And all better Twitter. Church, come and see. And then later on, they do another preaching. 5,000 come on. Wow, they're right there. God was responding in a marvelous way, fulfilling his promise and giving authority and power. Let's move on. Yeah. As we understand and grasp the understanding of the of chapter 2 and the book of Acts, put yourself like that. That they are not super special. They are not Superman, Superwoman. They are ordinary people like you and me. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty, the Christ that we follow. He uses human vessels. And that's the beauty of God, that he himself have chosen to work with people, to work with you and me, to make you his partner, you know, in his business. Wow. He could do it another way, but suddenly, in his sovereignty, his way of building his family, not just serving, but his family, he chose to work with and through us. We'll move on. The three characteristics of, we can see in Acts 2, that represents for us is the newness. He's doing a new thing. Nothing, what God was doing there was not yet heard or done. God was doing. And that's characteristic of the Holy Spirit. He's always up to do a new thing. This is up to do a new thing in our lives, to break new grounds, to take us further in our Christian walk, to take us further out of darkness into His light. The unity and diversity, as we talk about, we're going to talk about more, and mission. Three aspects we see reflected in this chapter, but as well as the message of the book of Acts together. Okay, move on. Okay, move on, yes, let's move on, yeah. It's like, you know, like this proverb, yeah? Can you read that for me? No. Ooh, too small?
The lamp of righteousness is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day.
Exactly. That's the way, as you wake up in the morning, see the sun rising, that's the way God is with us. There's always a new day with God. There's always a new opportunities with God. There's always a new step, a new growth to taking God. Yes, we want. You like that? I like this. I use a lot for my own life. When the caterpillar thought it was the end, it became a butterfly. It's always up to new things. When you think you're stuck, when you think you cannot move anymore, and you think this is it, you know, like the caterpillar, whoa. God's gonna give you wings, don't worry. God's gonna give you wings. Because that's the nature of God. That's the nature of the Holy Spirit within you. That creates you to build in anew, to go in anew, to fly. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. Yeah. Unity and diversity. There's no better picture that expresses what unity and diversity is than orchestra. You know, we have the picture of the body, as Paul expounded that later, that we are members of the same body, we're different parts, but we constitute the same, you know, as one. But I like as well this, different instruments. You know, one just see the drum play by itself, boom, 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 oops, boom, boom. Oh, I break everything here today. Forgive me. So, you say, wow. But when you see it, can play other instruments at the right timing, in the right part, wow. This piece wouldn't be heard if the drum was not there, right? Do you play instrument? No. Do you? Do you sing? Ah, yeah. Do you sing? Yeah. Yeah. Do you like music? Do you like music?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. Music is beautiful. And that creativity of music comes from God's heart, right? And people keep creating music. And suddenly you find new instruments that you never knew exist. I mean, have you seen this? Sometimes you read something, you say, wow, I didn't know this instrument, you know? I was walking one day in Madrid, I saw this huge thing of, How you remember that of cobre? Tambo, what's it called?
Copper?
Copper. Copper drum, yeah. Yeah. Have you seen this? I mean, that's just totally new for me. Astonished, I sat there. Ooh, wow. But what's so beautiful, you know? So, In the body of Christ, in what God is building us, is that we recognize, honor our differences, but we play in harmony. Let's move on. We all see things different, of course. You know, wolves, you know, see the elephant, you know, is this, this is elephant, you know this story, you know this analogy, right? As you try, right? Everyone's right, isn't it true? Yeah. Everyone's right. Everybody's right. But their part is not the whole right, right? There's more right to the right, right? No one is wrong. And if we could take the understanding of the scripture to see how much we can learn from each other's perspective, how much can we learn from each other's points of view, and how much can we build together as we appreciate those views, our music to the world would be very different. Okay, let's move on. This is Orchestra de Madrid. Mission. He called us to a mission. We all have different, you know, call the church, but you particular, you. God has something for me? For me special? Yes, he does. It doesn't depend of age. It doesn't depend of, you know, education. It doesn't depend where, your background. It's you. God has this special desire in his heart that you're so close in relationship, in friendship with him, that he wants to use you. He wants to use you for his grace, for his glory. In the mission, I was so blessed. If I don't want to embarrass you, Denise. Sorry. I was having dinner the other day, and you sharing, you know, in a nursing home. As you go visit your daddy there every two days, right? Every other day. And suddenly, these people are drawn to her. And she's there, going there, not just for her daddy anymore, right? Not just for her daddy anymore. Suddenly she realized she can bring a smile for someone that's, nursing home is a tough place. You know, you see death right there, right? You see people that you love, that maybe in weeks or months will not be there. It's a sad place to be. Can you imagine someone understanding it's a sad place, a dark place, but I can bring a little bit of light. I can bring a big smile in the face. I can make this grandpa laugh. You know, he doesn't know me. You know, tomorrow he's going to forget me because he has Alzheimer anyway. But today he can smile. Today I can bring brightness in his eyes. Today, I can receive love from him. And I can give love from him. It's not amazing? Some small thing look like so small, so insignificant. But for God's heart, it's not small. It's not insignificant. We see mission, conquer the world. Yes, there's a place for that. There's a place for the extraordinary, great stuff. Of course. But where it takes place is in our day-to-day. That's where the rub meets the road. Isn't it true? You know, as we are in a mission. We don't work for a mission. We are in a mission. You know, as we go to work, as we go to school, as we live in our, we are on a mission with God. Therefore, that what it requires is availability, nothing else. Availability. Let's move on. You know, I'm getting, okay. Let's touch the impossible. Yes, it's possible. God calls us for a mission possible, not impossible. Right? Amen. Okay, let's move on. It's a mission to go. Always to go to some, to cross the road, to cross the table, to affect someone else. That's what God is intended in Acts chapter 2. It refers to us. Let's move on. None of us, not all of us, can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Grace means that all of our mistakes now serve a purpose instead of serving shame. Let's ponder this a bit here. It's the broken vessels that we have been, we are, that God is using. In these broken vessels where the light shines, as our brother said there in the room. And we don't live in shame. but because the glory of God have redeemed that. And that vulnerability, the disciples, the first disciples live it out. Without fear and without shame. But know that God was there with them. Okay, let's move on. Some races may I turn off, and when we hear about Holy Spirit, that's what we experience in Europe. I don't know if it's the same here or not. So that's my context, okay? My context. You know, it's different places. A lot of times, because of negative experience and my emotions, every time we preach about Holy Spirit, believe it or not, we react. Do you experience that? There's a reaction. Sometimes can be visible, sometimes it's internal visible. Because it's nebulous, it's mysterious. This Holy Spirit is something that, you know, we don't understand much a lot of times. And there's a lot of confusion. And sometimes we react in our emotions, we turn off because our negative experiences of abuse, being abused by people, using in the name of the Holy Spirit or gifts of the Holy Spirit. Or they're immature. They are good in their gifts, immature in their character. And that hurt us. And that's not right. That the imbalance. Sometimes because the Holy Spirit acts in a strange way, like we saw there. Very strange way. And people become emotionalism, you know. Emotions take place. And that, as well, can be a sort of uncomfortableness. Sometimes a mistake, things that are done. A lot of times it can be a fear of man, what people are going to think of me. And that plays a big part. There's a difference between fear of God and fear of man. Fear of God makes you free. Fear of man makes you slave of people's opinions, expectations, and desire. And the church of God, they're going to be moved to conquer the world. It's a big deal to overcome the fear of man. Because fear of God has to be there. And for these guys to stand up, the 11, to stand up in that crowd that everybody knew them, I mean, some of them, some come from abroad, as we heard, but they are known, they are not unknown people. Fear of man could have been a snare for them. And they could continue to be recruited in their own setting. But they chose not. For so, fear may play a big part in that reaction that we have to overcome, to invite the Holy Spirit in these areas to come to nurture us, to heal where we've been abused or mistreated, where we have seen extremism, you say that? Unbalance. You know, let's not throw the baby. You guys have a very good say here. You have a good say there that we try to use there. It doesn't go the same way, but we like it. You know, throw the baby with the bad water. Yes, yeah. Let's not do that. You know, you don't disqualify all the doctors because one doctor made a mistake. Do you? No. You don't hate all the policemen if you want to give you a ticket. Because you are not strapped. Such a joke. She got a good ticket, you know. And she smiled to the, she was nice. She portrays the character of Christ right there. She did. Anyway, so, fear of man. She was not in the fear of man. Okay, let's move on. Yeah. Intellectually, It can bring a reaction in our mind, in our thinking, because either controversial, theological, ecclesiological interpretations of that, because lack of proper models of seeing the Holy Spirit alive, operating, and lack of proper teaching, practical teaching. So, we just put it right there in the burner, that's okay. Leave for later. If he God wants it, okay, he's gonna do it. And something like that. I don't care. I It's okay. It's fine. Doesn't matter. Yeah. All right. And we put it there because we were reacting. And a lot of times it can be because the way I learned this word here, wired. This is a new word for me. You know, wire is, you know, it has to be wires, tech, you know, connected. How you connect it, you know, how you process things, right? Is that true? Yeah. And, yeah, God made a difference, different. And it's okay. It's okay if you are more analytical, if you're more, you know, precise and you're not so, you know, in a way you want to analyze truth. It's fine. It's great. But that doesn't make an excuse for not invite the Holy Spirit to be leading, speaking in you and through you, right? Experiencing the strength, the power, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So let's go one on one. Or sometimes can be just because I don't want to. I like my comfort zone. I like to be where I am. Why to complicate my life? You know? It's so good to be cozy. So good to be here. I fought a lot to be where I am. Oh God, don't upset my plans, please. I like to be in control. I like drive my car. Oh, I do. But that's the beauty of God. If we know the goodness of God, we run towards Him, and we run towards the Holy Spirit of God, because He dwells in us. And the Holy Spirit in us has this capacity of itching us for more, itching us for more. Do you understand what I mean? And that's what we have to not, to be careful not to turn it off when He's itching your life for more. Okay, let's move on. Don't doubt in the dark what you have learned in the light. Can you repeat this with me? Don't doubt in the dark. In times of troubles, yes. And Peter and these other disciples have to receive the clicking. Ding. Oh, now I understand. Now I can hear. Oh, He called me to be fishers of men. Wow. Wow. I see now. I see now. There's promises that God's giving to you. He doesn't want you to forget them. The promises, the words of God is giving to you. And a lot of times, the struggles, the day-to-day, I think we put it right there in the back burner. We forget. And, or even we doubt about it. Let the Holy Spirit bring that to life. Let the Holy Spirit again revive those promises, those words He's given to you. Let the Holy Spirit give you a dream for your life. A dream for your life. That you can dream with Him. Okay? Yes? Let's invite Him, Lord. Yes, give me a dream for my life. Yeah, that's... I was 17. I was 17 when I came to the Lord. I never have heard the gospel before in my life. I didn't have a dream for living. I wanted to quit living. My wife the same. Right there, she was in her way as a hippie trail through in Europe. And she said, if I don't find my Prince Charming, I will end here. But Jesus came. And He comes, He gives good dreams. You know, I will not change what I do, what I believe, what I embrace for anything. I have no regrets in my 40 so years with the Lord. I don't have no regrets in my 40 years as missionary. I don't have no regrets. I'm thankful for the God who rescued me. That loved me. That took that orphan little boy. Smashed, hurt, bitter. and gave me a future with him, giving me a place in his heart that could be a son of God. I won't change that for anything. You guys sang a song about the river of God. There's a river that flows for the throne of God. And Revelation says that's a river that flows right from the presence of God. And Ezekiel, it takes Ezekiel to a river, right? And shows him and tell him, measure the river. And he goes there to measure. He goes and he's how do you call this? In his ankle? Ankle. Then he dares a little bit more. He goes and he's knees. He goes a little more and goes on his back. And he dares a little bit more and he's swimming. Wow. I'm sorry. What stage are you in that river of God? Just think. Where is God wants to take you in that river of his presence? Of the dwelling of presence of God? Would you give God a chance again to renew your spirit and that? Would you give God a chance to bring new waters to you? Would you give God a chance to, by his Holy Spirit, to empower you again for his mission that he has for you? Would you give God a chance again to fix your relationships that are broken and to heal you in those relationships that have been broken by whatever? That's what the Holy Spirit were doing in chapter 2. The last one. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray for you if you like to. I think the elders can pray. We all can pray for one another. We are body. In Acts chapter 2, God showed to the whole world into he was bigger than their mess. He's keeping showing this today. He's keeping showing that today. I don't know how you do this here, but in some places, people stand up if they want a prayer. I like someone to pray for me. Yes, they stand up. Other places, they just go. They have the corners of prayer, the elders. I would suggest, can we take a few minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes? I know I'm run late. And have the perspective, this is a serious place, because God's here, to minister our hearts together. There's a world to conquer over there, but there's a world to conquer right here in my heart. For more of God, of more of his waters, of more of this river, of his presence, more of a yielding of my rights to him, of my control to him. Right? So, how can we do this? Okay? We pray.